Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, I interviewed Terry Tucker, a former marketing executive, hospital administrator, undercover narcotics investigator, a SWAT team hostage negotiator, high school basketball coach, business owner, motivational speaker, and for the past 10 years, a cancer warrior. He comes to us with his story and how he didn't blame anybody for his diagnosis, but chose to power through it. Now, before we get into the episode, I want to let you know that the giveaway is still happening. If you want to win an Amazon gift card, all you have to do is just go to my Instagram, which is my name, Dwayne Staten, D-W-A-Y-N-E-S-T-A-T-E-N, and just click on the link in the bio, which will lead you to a survey. Fill that out, submit, and you are entered. The giveaway is still happening until the end of the month, and I will contact the winners directly next month in May. And remember, there are three gift cards to be won here. And now, without further ado, here's the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I have a Mr. Terry Tucker. Say hello, sir.
Hello, Dwayne. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
No, I appreciate you. I really do. So we connected through Matchmaker, the service of how, you know, being a guest or coming onto the show. And I'm really glad that you messaged me. And honestly, when I heard your background, former NCAA basketball player, SWAT team, hostage negotiator, and cancer warrior, honestly, like, that touched me. It really did. And to have you on my show is an absolute blessing to have you on. I appreciate you. I really do, sir. For real.
Well, thank you for having me on. I always say it's good people like you that allow me to come on, and hopefully between our conversation, we're going to make a positive difference in somebody's life. And if we do, today's been a good day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to ask you this question. If you could choose any person from history to be your, we'll say your Yoda, who would it be and why?
That's a great question. I would say it would have to be Jesus. I have a very strong faith in God.
Me too.
I mean, the more you can sit at the feet of the master and, you know, I mean, certainly in life in general, but, you know, if you're in business or sports or whatever you're in, you know, if you can get with those goats, so to speak, the greatest of all times and be in their presence, you can't help but get better. So Jesus would be my answer for you.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And we share the same faith. So honestly, that's an amazing answer. Honestly, I would just sit there just to hear him talk. I was like, Dwayne, you need to go out to the world. I know, but you're talking, and I just don't want to miss a word.
Right.
Like, no, yeah. No, Dwayne, you have to go out. I was like, you're right, I need to leave. So I wholeheartedly get that. I do. So listening, you know, to you, I'm going to tell you right now, you have an amazing, your voice is just powerful. You have a very powerful voice. I'm sitting here listening to every word like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? So honestly, with forgiveness, you know what I mean? Hearing your story, I wanted you to go in and just tell your story about forgiveness. So please, Sarah, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm so many times I've either had to forgive myself or people had to forgive me. I'm probably approaching the end of my life, and the regrets that I have are really regrets that, where I was selfish. You know, I don't have a lot of regrets, but they were regrets where I did something that hurt another individual. And sometimes I think you have to do that in life to be true to yourself. You need to hurt somebody else. And that may be getting them out of your life. They're not good for you. They're toxic. They don't support you. They don't care for you. They don't love you and things like that. But I guess probably the most recent thing that I've been dealing with, and I've been dealing with it for 10 years, is my cancer journey. So in 2012, I was a girls' high school basketball coach in Texas when I had a callus break open on the bottom of my foot. And initially, I didn't give it much thought because as a coach, you're on your feet a lot. But after a couple of weeks of it not healing, I went to see a podiatrist, a foot doctor friend of mine. And he took an x-ray and he said, Terry, I think you have a little cyst in there and I can cut it out. And he did. And he showed it to me. It was just a little gelatin sack with some white fat in it. No dark spots, no blood, nothing that gave either one of us concern. But fortunately or unfortunately, he sent it off to pathology to have it examined. And then 2 weeks later, I received a call from him. And as I mentioned, he was a friend. And the more difficulty he was having explaining what was going on, the more frightened I was becoming. Yeah. Until finally, he just laid it out for me. He said, Terry, I've been a doctor for 25 years. I have never seen this form of cancer. You have a rare form of melanoma that appears on the bottom of the feet or the palms of the hands. And because your cancer is so rare, I recommend you go to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston and be treated. And so I did. But it's interesting because I, through this 10-year journey, a lot of people was like, well, who do you blame for this? Like, what do you mean, who do I blame? You've got to blame somebody. We're great as a society of, you know, we start down a road toward whatever it is. A lot of times it's our goals, our ambitions and things like that. And then we butt up against an impediment and then we quit. But we don't just quit. We want to blame somebody. We want to blame mom and dad or our boss or our station in life. Very few people want to take responsibility for their own success and happiness.
Accountability. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I was like, I don't blame anybody. And I had people go so far as to say, well, you have to blame God because you got cancer. And I started to joke. I'm like, no, I don't think God got up on a Tuesday morning, checked his to-do list and said, Terry Tucker, cancer today. I don't think that happened at all. But I do believe God has given me the strength to get through it. So I guess I'll be quiet for a minute and see if you have any questions. But that's, certainly having to not necessarily forgive myself, but forgive other people for wanting me to blame somebody that I don't blame anybody. This is my lot in life. I have to play the cards that I have been dealt. I mean, I can be, surly, I can be mad, I can be upset, but I made a decision early on that I would not take out my cancer issues on a doctor, a nurse, a relative, a friend, or anybody like that. This is my cross to bear, and it's one that I'll do the best of my ability.
Okay. Well, honestly, I hear you. And the thing is, it's crazy how we will shift the blame off of ourselves onto somebody else, because I'm gonna speak from my perspective. I don't want to feel that guilt or blame. It's gonna be someone else, because I don't want to take this weight no more. You know what I mean? And the key word is, a lot of us don't want to take accountability, and that's the key thing. So, and I'm glad that you touched up on that. So I want to ask, were you tempted to blame anyone, or were you just like, no, don't worry about it?
I mean, I wasn't really tempted to blame. I mean, when I found out, that I had this form of cancer, I think I went through all the stages of grief, that we associate, with losing somebody or having some major incident occur in our life. I was like in denial. I was like, well, yeah. No, there's just no, I mean, I've done everything right in my life. I've exercised. I don't smoke or drink. I don't take, I've done all the things that we're told to do. And then, then I got mad. It was like, really? I don't know who I got mad at. I was just mad. And then, I started to bargain with God. It's like, look, just let me live long enough to see my daughter graduate from high school. And then, like I said, eventually I got through those stages and I got to the point where it was like, okay, this sucks, but I'm going to have to embrace this suck. And yes. I'm going to have to live my life to the best of my ability, given that these are the cards that I've been dealt. And so I don't really blame anybody. I had all 88 genes that either doctors know of or suspect cause all different forms of cancer. I had all these 88 genes tested. So it's genetic testing, and I have no mutations in any of my genes. So it begs the question, why did I get this very rare form of cancer? And nobody's been able to answer that question. But it's not a question I dwell on. It's not something that, you know, I'm like, well, I got to find out why I got it. I got it. I mean, it's, I've got it. I've had it for 10 years. You know, it's cost me the amputation of my left foot in 2018. It's cost me the amputation of my left leg in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic with, you know, my wife literally dropping me off at the hospital to have my leg amputated. It was the only surgery that day. The doctor had to get special permission to do the surgery. I could have nobody with me. Yeah. And it's like, okay, these are the cards I've been dealt. I got to do the best I can. I'm not, you know, I mean, you're looking at me right now. There's no S on my chest. I don't wear a cape. I mean, I have bad days just like everybody else, but I just keep trying to move forward.
I hear you on that one. And again, kudos to you, because hearing all that and to have the type of attitude that you have, that takes, I'm not going to lie, that takes faith. That does take strength, because that hits. Because you could be angry, you could have a lot of blame, just like, no, these are the cards that I've been dealt with, and I'm gonna make it work the best way I know how. So again, kudos to you on that. Kudos to you. One thing you said in a message that we spoke when we were speaking, that I want to talk about, was you said part of moving forward with the disease is to forgive either God, ourselves, family, friends for the things we have that we don't want, and for the things in life that we do want. So can you see, can you go a little bit deeper into that?
Yeah, I mean, again, we all want, you know, all the best stuff in the world for us. But, yes, you know, if you think about it, you know, so many people want success, however you define that in your life, whatever that is. But yes. So many people are afraid to go after success. I guess I'll start by saying this, especially with young people that are listening. If there's something in your heart, something in your soul that you believe you're supposed to do, but it scares you, go ahead and do it. Because at the end of your life, the things that you're going to regret are not going to be the things you did. They're going to be the things you didn't do. And by then it's going to be too late to go back and do those things. Yes. So, I mean, we all want success, but we think for some reason that failure is somehow not associated with success. I guarantee you that if you're going to be successful, whatever you feel your purpose in life is, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to make mistakes along the way. And if you don't, when you get to success, when you get to that point, it's not going to be as rewarding. It's not going to be as rich. It's not going to taste as good, because you know what? The journey wasn't that hard. When you have those hard things, that's what makes, you know, it's like they say, you know, it's about the journey. It's not about the destination. And it really is in life. And, you know, we all want to be successful, but so many people are like, oh, wait a minute. If I do that, you know, maybe that person will laugh at me, or, you know, maybe I'm not smart enough. And I wrote a book in 2020, and one of the chapters that I put in the book was titled this: most people think with their fears and their insecurities instead of using their minds. I've done that. I've done that, excuse me, plenty of times in my life where I wanted to do something, but ooh, that scares me a little bit. Or, you know, I may be not good enough to handle that. That's thinking with your fears and your insecurities, not thinking with your mind. Like, yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but that uncomfortable is going to make me a better person, so I should try that.
I agree. And honestly, that I've done that, and I'm fighting to overcome that. There are times I still think from that mindset. And it's very true, because there are a lot of missed opportunities that I had. And I actually talked about it on an episode where just a quick story. I had to forgive myself because I wanted to be an author. I loved writing, still do. And one of my favorite authors, Wahida Clark, was at the local Barnes & Noble. I went up to her and I said, yo, I'm a writer just like you. And I just want to, you know, just wanted to meet you. And she said, send me your stuff. Okay. I ran home, typed up the email, attached what I had, and right before I hit send, it ain't good enough. it needs to be polished. But it's not polished. It's not polished. It ain't good enough. I never sent it. And honestly, I beat myself. I used to beat myself up, but I forgave myself for that. So that's one that resonated with me. It really did. And I want to use that same mindset. Use that same mindset on forgiveness really quickly. Because when it comes to forgiveness, a lot of people think forgiveness is weakness. Or it's just like, what do people think of me if I forgive this person for what they did? And it goes back to not thinking from a place of fear, but a place of the goals you want to reach. Because there's a saying that says, what you want is on the other side of fear. So I wholeheartedly agree with that. Keep going. That was good. That was good. Keep going.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think that forgiveness should come from fear. I think true forgiveness comes from strength. Yes. It comes from love. It comes from caring. And, you know, I always talk about, you know, Dwayne, if I didn't know you, but I knew the five people you hung around with the most, I could probably tell you a lot about the type of person that you are. And I always recommend this to people. You know, we all have kind of an inner circle, you know, a posse, if you want to call it. You know, these are the people that, you know, they act like us, they think like us, you know, they like the same things we do and all that. And we're comfortable with these people. But I think it's important for all of us to sort of, you know, once in a while, check in with that inner circle. Are these the right people to have in your life? And if these people aren't kind, caring, loving, forgiving, people that want to, you know, bolster you, that want to see you succeed, then you need to get those people out of your life. But you know, if you think about it, some of the greatest people we have in our life are the people that are willing to risk the relationship that they have with us because they love us enough to tell us the truth, you know, but think about it, think how we handle that. It's like, okay, you know, you're one of my good friends, and you say, Terry, you know, I really think you're messing up. I really think this is not something you should do. What do I do? I'm like, Dwayne, you know what? Get lost. You know, you're not one of my friends. But no, that person is one of your friends. You need those people in your life who are willing to tell you the truth because they love you enough, even if they're willing to sacrifice the relationship they have with you. And we don't have a lot of those people in our lives, if you think about it. And so why do we want to get rid of those people? It's because they all of a sudden, by saying we're not doing what, you know, they think we should be doing or what's in our best interest, we want to get, you're not in the inner circle anymore because, you know, you're not like me. You're not saying what I want to hear. No, you need people around you that are willing to tell you the truth.
That's very true. Very true. And the people who are really close to me, I tell them straight up, like, look, let me know if I'm messing up. You let me know if I'm in the wrong. If I'm in the wrong, call me on it. If I'm not, let me know, because I would rather do right than think, quote unquote, that I'm right. Because I could think I'm right, but I'm dead wrong. And that, honestly, we need those type of people. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, sometimes you're just too close to what's going on to see it for what it really is. And some people on the fringe are able to say, Dwayne, you're messing up, or Terry, you're messing up. You know, and here's why I think that. Oh, okay. And we shouldn't get defensive. We should be like, well, let's talk about it. Why are you saying what you're saying? And maybe I'm not seeing it. Again, I want those people in my life. Terry, you're too close to this. You're missing this. You know, that's what I want.
I agree. Wholeheartedly agree with that. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yes, that's yes, Terry. Keep going. Oh my gosh. So, oh, that's good. That's really good. One thing that I want, one question that's coming up to mind is, how can you tell who is for you? How can you tell, like, this person is really for my best interest, or this one's just here to just ride the coattails?
What's that phrase in the Bible that, you know, if they're not for us, they're against us? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, again, I I don't put a lot of stock. I guess maybe this is age or experience or whatever you want to call it. I don't put a lot of stock in what people say. You know, people talk a good game. Yes. Where I'm looking at it is, what do you do? You know, yes. Do your actions mimic what you're saying to me? And yes. I think that's a good way to answer your question. Are those people that are around you, are they saying the right things and are they doing the right thing? If they're saying the right things, but not doing the right things, you know, if they're saying, oh, Dwayne, I care about you. I love you. You know, I want you to be successful. But yeah, Dwayne, you can't do that. Why would you waste your time? I mean, if that's what they're saying and then they're doing the opposite, yeah. I would say that's a person you don't want in your life. And I know that's, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say that, especially when that inner circle, a lot of times are your family. You know, and I mean, it's one thing to get rid of friends. It's much harder to get rid of family because, yeah. I mean, you know, let's face it, they're family. But yeah. maybe you spend less time with that person. I mean, you can't probably spend no time with them, but maybe you spend less time because they're toxic to you. You know, they say one thing, but they're really not there for you. They're sort of like, you know, those people who are like, yeah. No. You know, they're fair weather fans. You know, yes. when you're winning, they're great. But when you're kind of down and out, they're not going to be there to support you.
I agree wholeheartedly. And what I'll also add to that, the people who love you will push you to do hard things that they know it's good for your growth. And they will also say, you're not in it alone. I'm here with you. If they know that you need to do something, they will push you. They will, like, I will say, let me see. I didn't honestly think I was going to do this podcast. Really didn't. And it was a great coach of mine, Michael McGreevy, who was talking to me and coaching. He was like, you have a story to talk about. People, like, you could help people with this. And lo and behold, thank God it did. And then you're going to have people who are going to love you enough to say, look, you can do this. You may not believe that you can, but I know you can. So I honestly want to add on to that. Thank you for that.
That's a great point.
So I want to ask this, what does forgiveness mean to you?
That's a great question, because forgiveness is not easy for me. Mm-hmm. I expect a lot of myself, and I expect a lot of the people that I surround myself with, which may not be fair. That's probably the wrong way of phrasing it. It isn't fair. You know, I can't expect you to be something that you're not. So when things don't go right, you know, it's easy for me to say, you know, that's somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. And I don't like putting blame. I usually am the one who takes blame, but you know, I expect your best. I expect your best at every moment because I expect my best at every single moment. But I know that's not realistic. I mean, we all have bad days. We have down days. We don't feel good. You know, our minds are preoccupied with other things that are more important than things. That's life. That's the way it is. You can't expect somebody, you know, to bring their A-plus game every single day, every minute of that day. You just can't. It's not realistic. But I do. And that's hard for me to, you know, for me, it's trying to take that burden off. I guess that's what forgiveness means, taking that burden off of you that I have placed there. I've placed this. You didn't. I did. I'm the one who messed up here, you know? And so I guess the way I look at it is I'm taking a burden off of you that I put on you and I shouldn't have put on you in the first place.
Oh, that's good. That's real good. I like that. What is something that you wish that you learned earlier in your journey to forgiveness?
It's another great question. I guess I would say, I guess I would have learned the importance of, you know, mistakes of the heart versus mistakes of the head. You know, if your heart is in the right place, if you're trying to do the right thing, as opposed to, yeah, I know I'm doing the wrong thing and I'm going to do it anyway. That's a whole lot different than somebody who's like, I tried to do the right thing. Yeah, I made a huge mistake here. That's a mistake of the heart. You know, when people are trying to do the right thing, and those are the people I want to surround myself with, you know, not the people who have such little character that they are, you know, it's all about me. You know, I'm going to do what I need to do, even if it's wrong. You know, I mean, it's kind of the old saying, you know, if you found a sack of $1 million in it, and you knew nobody would ever, you know, turn you in or, you know, tell you that it was theirs, would you keep the sack of money? You know, and that's a character trait. That's a character issue. You know, it's not your money. You know, it's not something that you, but you know, if nobody knows about it, you know, the thing about it is you're going to know about it. You've got to have your own self-check of saying, you know what, my character is high enough or good enough that, you know what, no, this isn't my money. I need to turn it in. And you know, I know that's easy for me to say, you know, I mean, if your kid needed a, you know, an operation that cost $200,000 and you found that $1 million sack and you didn't have $200,000, would you probably use it for your kid? I'd say a lot of people probably would, even knowing that it's not their money. So these are not black and white decisions. You know, correct. these are things we need to think about. These are things we need to, you know, sort of when we're in that quiet time in our lives, you know, what would I do in this situation? You know, and be honest with you. I mean, it's just you and yourself. How would I handle this? What would I do? And again, I don't mean to sit here and preach, because I'm not saying that, you know, I would have made a good decision on X, Y, or Z. But again, I think it's a mistake of the heart versus a mistake of the head. And I kind of look at that to determine, you know, what's something that I would have liked to have learned earlier in my life.
I got you. I agree with that. I do agree with that. And what is something you want to impart to the people who are listening?
I guess I'll give you a story, because I think this will illustrate something. I've always been a big fan of Westerns growing up, loved Western television and movies. 1993, the movie Tombstone came out. You very well may have seen it. It was a huge blockbuster. It starred Val Kilmer as a man. Yeah. John Doc Holliday and Kurt Russell as a man by the name of Wyatt Earp. Now, Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp were two living, breathing human beings who walked on the face of the earth. They're not just made up characters for the movie. And Doc was called Doc because he was a dentist by trade. But pretty much Doc Holliday was a gunslinger and a card shark. And Wyatt Earp, his entire, almost entire adult life, had been a lawman. And somehow these two men from entirely opposite backgrounds come together and form this very close relationship. And at the end of the movie, Doc Holliday is dying at a hospital in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, which is about 3 hours from where I live. The real Doc Holliday died in that hospital, and he's buried in the Glenwood Springs Cemetery. And Wyatt Earp at this point in his life is destitute. He has no money. He has no job. He has no prospects for a job. So every day he comes to play cards with Doc, and the two men pass the time that way. And in this scene, almost at the end of the movie, the two men are talking about what they want out of life. And Doc says, you know, when I was younger, I was in love with my cousin, but she joined a convent over the affair, but she's all I ever wanted. And then he looks at Wyatt and he says, what about you, Wyatt? What do you want? And Wyatt kind of nonchalantly says, I just want to lead a normal life. And Doc looks at him and says, there's no normal. There's just life. And get on with living yours. Dwayne, you and I probably know people. There's probably people in your audience that are sort of sitting back and be like, well, when this happens, I'll have a normal life. When that happens, I'll have a successful life. When this happens, I'll have a significant life. I guess what I'd like to leave your audience with is this. Don't wait. Don't wait for life to come to you. Get out there. Find the reason you were put on the face of this earth. Use your unique gifts and talents and live that reason. Because if you do, I'm going to promise you two things at the end of your life. Number one, you're going to be a whole lot happier. And number two, you're going to have a whole lot more peace in your heart.
I agree with that. Wholeheartedly agree with that. Oh my gosh, Mr. Terry Tucker, thank you for that, man. Like that, I thank you for that. That was a great story. That was also a good movie. It really was.
That was. I agree. That was a great one.
It was. So right now, the floor is yours. Tell people where they can find you, the things you have going on, any projects. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. I have a blog that I started back in 2019. It's called Motivational Check. You can reach me at motivationalcheck.com. It has access to my book, which is entitled Sustainable Excellence, 10 Principles to Leading Your Uncommon and Extraordinary Life. You can also get that book on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Apple iBooks, pretty much anywhere you can get a book online, you can get Sustainable Excellence. Like I said, every morning on Motivational Check, I put up a thought for the day. With that thought usually comes a question about how you might be able to apply that thought to your life. On Mondays, I put up the Monday morning motivational message, which is usually a video or a story that's a little bit longer that kind of, you know, sets the tone for the week. So if you need to get a hold of me, motivationalcheck.com pretty much will do it.
All righty. All right. For those of you who didn't catch that, I'm going to put that in the show notes so that y'all can check that out, because I'm not going to lie, I was inspired by this conversation. I really was. So much confirmation, just a lot of honestly messages that I need to hear. So honestly, Terry, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being open and just thank you, man. For real.
Well, thanks for having me on, Dwayne. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, hopefully we're going to make a difference in somebody's life with our conversations more today.
All right. Absolutely.
That was an amazing interview. I want to thank you, Terry, for coming on, being open and honest with your story. I appreciate you. Again, I want to let you know that the giveaway is still happening. I'm giving away three Amazon gift cards to three lucky winners. All you have to do is just log on to Instagram, go to my account, Dwayne Staten, DwayneStaten. Click on the link in my bio, fill out the survey, submit, and you will be automatically entered in. Now, again, this is going on until the end of the month, and I will contact the winner directly in May. Also, for all who has been listening since the beginning and even now, we appreciate you. We appreciate you listening. We ask that you leave a 5-star written review on iTunes, help the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations.